Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. That's the Season of Joy music. Welcome to the Best Life Cafe. My name is Kathy Anello, and I'm here today with my co-host, Carrie Tucker Butler. And we are also here with an invited guest, Ken Lewicki. And Ken is an EFT practitioner. He's a life coach. He's a Reiki master. He is going to talk to us about our spirit guides today. Just hearing his voice this morning, when I was promoting him as a Zen master, he wasn't a Zen master, but he has worked with some of the great Zen masters and has been living in the state of Zen. And just hearing his voice, I picked that up immediately. I was so excited to have him on the show today. Ken, welcome. We're so happy to have you from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, everybody. Hey. Thank you for joining us.
Just to give our listeners a little background, when we have our guests, we kind of ask them to send us a biography. So we get some background information, or if they're an author, we read their books. And we like to, you know, really dive into what we're bringing to the table here. And Ken sent us a biography that, you know, it's fascinating how people live their lives through experientials and traumas and come out with this great spiritual awakening. And as I read through your bio, I really felt that at an early age of your life, you had these tendencies, and because of your empathic spirit that was shining through in some of your messages here, and really just started awakening to it as you started to live in through these spiritual practices. So we're going to start by just kind of bringing you into the fact that you grew up in Winnipeg, Canada, and you called that a hardcore city. And you said you grew up very fast and was having sex at a very early age, and I know it's okay to talk about that. But let's talk about the broken heart, because I think that's very poignant to start with how you had a depression at such a young age.
That's a really good question. Is I realized much, much later, I grew up as an atheist agnostic and didn't believe in any religion or God or spirits or anything like that. And a lot of this stuff stemmed from past lives. At the time, I did not know that. And then what happened was when I was very young, grade 9, I broke up with a girl that I was dating for 5 years, and I was madly in love with her. And I broke up with her for no reason. I was just like, I just want to try something different. Like 5 years at that age is a lifetime. And I ended up breaking up with her, I realized that I ended up breaking my own heart because I loved her so much, but the damage was done. It was too late. She had gone on her way and I had gone on mine, but I wanted her back, but it wouldn't happen. And I was so upset with myself for hurting her and breaking her heart that I went into a deep, deep, deep depression, and it spiraled down, got worse and worse. And then throughout high school, I started using drugs and alcohol. And by the time I graduated from high school, I was a full-blown alcoholic. I didn't know it, but at the time I was, and I was using drugs really hardcore. My grades had slipped even though I was a straight-A student. And it really, really hurt me to the deepest core that I hurt somebody else.
Well, you know, I'm fascinated because the thing that stands out to me the most is that this was in grade 9. And I don't think that as adults looking back, we now know that these are such formative years for us. And so to know that you went through that and then that took you to that next phase of addiction, you know, which I think your story is a lot of people's story, because we are living so unconsciously as grade 9. You know, you don't have that consequence mentality, like there's going to be a consequence for my action mentality. So I'm fascinated that this was sort of the beginning. And then, so then you got married.
Yeah, I finally decided to give love another chance. When I graduated from college, I took electronic engineering, computer engineering technology, and I met a lady at an electronics factory, and I'm like, well, because I made a vow never to date again, never to love again, because I never wanted to have that feeling of a broken heart. But I decided to give her a chance, and we ended up getting married. We had a child, and things were looking up. It was super exciting because I was finally looking up, but the only thing is I still had the addictions to the alcohol and the drugs that I brought with me, even though we were married and had a kid and raising a child, and I was listening to heavy metal music and drinking and drugging every day. It was just getting out of control.
Wow. So this is Carrie. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Carrie.
I'm just a little speechless right now because as I read your bio, like, just tears welled up in my eyes about all of the things that you've gone through. And it just, you know, we just never know our past, right? I mean, I guess as adults now, you look back and you see that all of these things happened, and if they wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't be where you are right now, right? I mean, I guess we all have that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know how this impacted you, because I know that after a while, she left, right? And that ended up having you be a single dad. So
yes.
How did that impact you as a single dad? In what, like, in your process?
So basically what had happened was there was that fateful day where it was a Sunday and my wife had to go to work and she's like, no drinking. And I'd been drinking all weekend, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday I'm like, yeah, sure, I won't be drinking. And as soon as she left, I hit the bottle and I was looking after my daughter and I was like, oh, I'll be a good dad. I'll take my daughter to the park. And I was so drunk, I couldn't even barely walk with the stroller. She was young then. And ended up walking across traffic, and I guess someone called the cops, and the cops came to basically arrest me. And I remember that day that I ended up waking up the next day, like what had just happened. And 2 days later, she had left with my daughter, and I was so heartbroken over it. I got down on my knees, and I just begged and begged for help. I was like, I just need help, please, anybody, anything, just help me. And I cried and cried and cried. And from that point forward, I was completely 100% sober, no desire to drink or use drugs. And I had never, and that was back in 2004. And nobody can explain it. It was a total miraculous occurrence that happened. The fact that I didn't have any desire for drugs or alcohol at all. And then from that point forward, I realized that there was some divine intervention. And a few years later, my wife ended up leaving my daughter and I. So I was raising my daughter since 5 years old. Now she's 16 years old as a full-time single father. And I just, you know, held a full-time career. I stayed sober throughout that whole time. As tough as it was, I was able to manage that and do that. Just, I had to, because I just knew it was important that I stay sober for my daughter.
Yeah, you had a healing, Ken. You experienced a healing. Like, that is just a miracle.
Yeah.
A miracle. Like, I'm going to just, like, be, you know, crying through this whole thing. okay, sorry. You know, I'm a crier.
I feel like crying too. It's actually really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Oh, my little
I'm
impact.
So grateful.
I know. So then in 2009, you decided to, like, totally change your career. And you wanted to become a life skills coach. And you took a 9-month intensive course on that, right? So tell us a little bit about that as well. I love that.
Well, that was really exciting because since I graduated from college, I was in the IT industry, information technology, worked with computer systems, all this and that. And I'd fly all over the U.S. and Canada and everywhere, and I'd work with people to help install those automation systems. And my favorite part of all that was working with the people. I just loved working with people. And I'm like, computers are kind of, you know, after, you know, 10 years of this, they've kind of become the same old, but working with the people was the part that I liked the most. And then I just remember that one day where I got laid off and I ended up going to an employment works office where basically they teach workshops. And one of the ladies is like, hey, Ken, why don't you go ahead and try this life skills coaching program? So I did. I took a chance. It was a totally different career, and I made a completely different career change, and it was the best thing I ever did because from that point forward, I ended up working for the government, learning how to facilitate, The course that I took actually trained me on how to become what you call a master facilitator. And that taught me how to work in front of groups, how to manage the energies in the group, how to make sure that the groups are, and I remember my teacher, she's like, has to be 80% or more experiential, hands-on workshops, because people learn best by doing. And that kickstarted my whole entire career. She was a big Louise Hay fan, and at the time I didn't believe much in Louise Hay, but I was like, there's got to be something to this. And now I'm a huge fan of hers, and just like love her stuff, and I use it in my workshops constantly. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for that training that I got back in 2009.
Wow. I just think that's amazing. You know what? Because like, I mean, if the kids today like had the opportunity to learn the skills that it would be, you know, to be a life coach, like imagine what their lives would be like today.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a big gap that's missing in our high schools. And these children really need to learn this at a young age so that they can learn how to manage their relationships and their, you know, how to work with people, how to have healthy boundaries, how to, you know, like basically manage their feelings and express their feelings in a good, healthy way.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more with that because, and I think there is a big gap, and it leaves it up to the people who are like us, and the sort of the healers out here who want to heal the world to come up with something. But I wanted to circle back just for a minute for our listeners. And when you were talking about the miracle that took place that fateful day for you where you knew that life was going to change. I think that I know I've had that pivotal moment, and I think a lot of people do. And the one word that kept coming to me when you guys were talking about it was that, it even makes me emotional, is surrender. And that's part of the, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous philosophy. But what surrender does do is open you. And I really felt that when we surrender our situation to this higher power that you say, it's got to be out there because life is so mysterious. And so I just wanted for our listeners to know that surrendering is really sort of key to climbing out of trauma. So I just had to get that out because I was sitting there going, wow, like that is so cool. But so, and then during that time, when you were finding your higher power, you took your first spiritual training from a medium and were perplexed. I think it said that you were, you know, kind of like, wow, like they're able to communicate with souls on the other side. Like that's so interesting. So we're going to touch on that. And then, because I'm all over the board today, the fact that you were able to learn the life skills and the facilitator is such an important part of being a healer and a teacher today. So I really love that.
Yes.
So now talking to the other side is a subject that fascinates me. And I've talked about this before on this show because I've had communications from the other side. I know Carrie and I met at an angel certification workshop where we did exercises to communicate with the other side also. So we totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're both Soaring Virtue and we actually met there and our relationship formed. And so I have always been a little bit afraid and intrigued at the same time of this possibility that we can communicate. Like you said, you figured out that it was your dad, that you had absolutely talked to your father. And, you know, I don't think there's a soul out here listening today to our show that can say that there's not someone that they want to talk to from the other side, from their past. Like I usually have to seek out, you know, professional psychic help to do that. And so I'm thinking that I want to talk to you about how that started for you and what that is and how our people can really dive into learning about how to do that.
Yeah. So just to give a context before I begin is I actually teach people how to connect with their guides. That's kind of one of the things that I specialize in is teaching people how to connect with their guides so that when I'm not around, they can continue communicating with their guides. And the way it began was that would be about 7 years ago now. In 2012, I took a Jack Canfield breakthrough to success training, and he kept emphasizing meditating. So in 2000, 2013, I decided, okay, I'm going to meditate every day, twice a day. And I was always, I'd get up like really early, like 4 a.m, and I'd meditate, and nothing was happening. Then all of a sudden, I had a breakthrough 3 months later where I started to go into this, what's called the gap, and this really, really quiet space. And I continued meditating, and it wasn't until about a year or two later, where I would all of a sudden feel this presence enter the room. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then months and months and months later, I'd feel this presence move on to the other side of the room. And I'd go, oh, that's interesting. And then months and months and months later, I'd feel this presence behind me. And then months and months and months later, I realized there's my dad who had passed away. And then months and months and months later, I was finally able to have a full-blown conversation with my dad like you and I are now. And then months and months and months later, I'd feel this other presence, and ended up being my grandfather, and I could feel the differences between when my dad would enter the room and my grandfather would enter the room. And it just started from that. And what I did is I self-taught myself through trial and error, through practice, and over and over and over, I just kept practicing, communicating with my dad, communicating. And then eventually I was able to communicate with ascended masters, and then eventually over many more months, eventually angels, and then now even archangels I'm able to communicate with.
Okay, so I think some people listening might think, okay, wow, how does, and I, although I know it's possible and have not experienced to that level, but when you mentioned the gap, you said all of a sudden you find yourself in a gap. And I think that if you've felt that before, like I have felt that space where you know it's a different space from the space I'm in right now talking to you. And So it sounds to me like getting to the gap through meditation somehow will help open up these channels for you to communicate with the other side. But when you describe having a full-on conversation with your father, I am sitting here in such envious, because I'm like, I want that. I mean, there's a couple conversations I need to have with some people. I'm an advocate for those unsaid words, you know, and so I just find this fascinating. I'd like to know how do you start your practice of communicating with the other side? Like, what's that process for you?
At this point now, I do it pretty much anytime, all the time. And when I do, Kim and I, my partner, Kim Wirch, we do large expos, like large, where we have thousands of people in a weekend come visit us. And basically what I'll do is I'll sit down with somebody. I'll do a one-on-one session while Kim does her healing sessions. And what I'll do is I'll sit down with this person one-on-one. And this person, many of these people that I work with they don't know anything about spirituality, nothing at all. And that's great. I just, okay, have a seat. I say, sit down. I just tell them a little bit about what guides are, what soul families are, which we could get into a little bit later. And then I say, okay, take a deep breath, close your eyes. And it's busy. It's noisy at these expos. Like there's people talking and there's vendors around us that are talking and doing their thing. There's gongs going off and all sorts of noises going on. And it doesn't matter. I just say, take a deep breath. They take a deep breath, and I go, okay, now invite your guide to come closer. They invite their guide to come closer, and I say, okay, now trust the answers that you're getting. Where do you feel your guide right now around you? And they give an answer. I feel this presence beside me. I say, okay, good. Now what's the energy? What's the feeling of that? Like what kind of physical sensations are you feeling? Then I get them to describe it. And I write that down. I make sure I write it all down for them so that they can do their part, which is focus. And they'll say, oh, it feels prickly, or it feels like there's a hand on my shoulder. And I go, okay, good. And then I go, okay, now what kind of feelings are you getting from your guide? Oh, they're feeling like supportive and uplifting and helpful. And I go, okay, now what messages are they trying to give you? And then they start telling the messages that the guide is trying to give them. This is somebody who's never, ever, ever communicated with their guide before. Ever.
Wow.
And they're doing it right then and there, right on the spot. And what took me 5 years to do, I teach people to do it in half an hour sessions. Just
so
like that.
And now
what I do is I do two-hour sessions, two-hour intensive trainings.
Wow. Okay, so I have a question. So do you feel like, do you feel like your guides and the people around you assist the people that you're working with, like, to help them get in touch with their guides? Or is it, do you know what I mean? Like, are they getting help from the other side to connect because you are so connected?
Nope. Actually, that's a really good question. So what I do is I go directly to their guides. That's an excellent question. No one's ever asked me that before.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, I go directly to their guides. And I communicate with their guides. And so I'm kind of like an intermediary, but I don't connect for them. And these people that basically when they leave the expo, they go home, I tell them, I say, keep practicing, because that's all it is. That's all I did. Just keep practicing, connecting with your guides. And they do. They come back months later or the next year when we come back to these expos, they'll come back and they'll be like, holy smokes, I'm talking to my, you know, auntie or my grandfather or whoever it is or somebody from a past life, and they do it on their own, which is great because I want them to do that. Everything I do is about empowering them to do it so that when I'm not around, they can continue doing it. I know what you're saying. That's a good question.
Thank you. So I have another one. So you might not be as good, but so spirit guides versus like guardian angels. So, I mean, because thank you. I
love that
know
question.
That when, thank you. So when I, like, I know that when I was a little girl, like so I feel like I don't even know what to call them. Like, I have one, I call her my guardian angel because she's always, like, she looks like an angel. She's white and she's got long, flowy red hair and white wings. I mean, she is like the typical angel. And then I have this other little like Indian man, like a Native American Indian man who just like, he's really old and he like just watches me all the time. Like he hardly ever speaks. Mm-hmm. And then like, mm-hmm. I just recently, within the last couple of years, this guy floated in all dressed in black, like really cool, like suave kind of dude. And so, but I, you know, and okay, so they, I have those. And then like, I know that like my grandma pops in like all the time, like I'll feel her energy and I called her Mimi and I would say like, hi Mimi. And my dad would pop in every now and again. And even Wayne Dyer, cause I have a amazing connection with him. So what is the difference? Like spirit guides, guardian angels, like how do we how do we decide or discern? What is the word? I don't even know. Like,
how do you distinguish?
I'll just clarify for you is there's very, very, very few people that I've met who actually have the ability to channel angels. Angels are such a high frequency, high vibration that to close that gap is very, very difficult. To bridge that gap between the human, like the being someone who's incarnated like us and where they reside is an extremely large gap. And very few people that I've met can actually channel and communicate with angels. That doesn't mean that angels don't intervene from time to time, not too often, but once in a while they do. The lady you were talking about, the first one with red hair, and that is one of your, what's called primary guides. Your primary guide is the one that works with you most of the time. The Indian guy that you mentioned and the guy in black, they're one of your secondary guides. The secondary guides, they reside on the peripheral, and they pop in from time to time to help you, to support you, to guide you, but it's your primary guide that you work with most of the time. The other two that you mentioned, your like Wayne Dyer and the other one, they're not your guides. That doesn't mean they can't pop in from time to time, but they're not part of your soul family, and they're not part of your guides. Does that help clarify some of that?
Yeah, so even my grandma and my dad, like they just pop in from time to time, but they're not part of my soul family. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. So
wow.
Your soul family resides in the astral realm, which is the realm that is just above ours. And it's the easiest. The reason I teach people to connect with their guides, because their souls just like you and I, except they're not incarnated. And they reside in the astral realm, which is one realm above ours, which is the easiest realm for us to access because it's very close to our realm, our reality. And so by teaching people to connect with their guides, then as they practice over years, then they might be able to eventually connect with ascended masters and then eventually with angels and maybe even perhaps archangels. But the beginning stage is I always tell people, let's just start connecting with your guides, your soul guides, because their soul is just like you and I. And a lot of people want to skip those stages, and they're like, no, I just want to go straight to the angels and archangels. It's like, just be patient. You'll eventually get there. Let's just start with the souls because they're the easiest to access.
So I remember, I mean, I feel like I'm speaking for a lot of people because, like, I remember when I first had the vision or the sense of this, you know, my primary guide, and I thought I was going nuts, like, really, like, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh yeah, like, whatever, I'm making all this up, or, you know, it's just my mind or whatever, right? And, but she's always there. I mean, like, I, you know, 12, 15, 57, anytime I, like, do that. So speak a little bit to, like, when we, like, just go, yeah, we're tripping, like, no, this is not, like, I'm making this stuff up, you know what I mean? Like, how do you do that?
Well, this might actually help. Is there's been several times where I've had children come to me at the expos with their parents, and this one boy, for example, he was really, really scared in his room because there was always this soul that was there. And he didn't know what it was. He was freaking. He didn't want to be in there. So what I did is I had him sit down, and I had him connect with that soul who ended up being one of his guides. It was this other little girl. And he realized that it was safe. It was fine. He was totally okay. He left. He was so happy. He was his mom, who's into spiritual stuff, thank God, because she was able to bring him to me. And that's all he needed. He just needed reassurance that he wasn't crazy, that he just didn't understand or know what it was that he was seeing. And can you imagine how many kids, they see these things and they think they're going crazy. And if their parents aren't into this stuff, they might, you know, be bringing them to doctors who put them on medication when there's nothing wrong with them. Like, this is a gift we need to help them develop and embrace.
I
and this
agree.
Is exciting for them. And the thing I tell people is that I say, just trust what you're getting, trust the information. And eventually over time, you'll be able to tell the difference between what's your thoughts and what you're hearing from your guides, what you're seeing, like your own things, what you're imagining and what you're seeing, which is your spirit guides. So whether you're clairvoyant or clairaudient or however you get the messages, clairsentient, which I'm all of those, then just start to trust those and embrace it and welcome it. And try to sit there in silence and connect with your guides on a regular basis because they've been assigned, they've chosen to help us. And it's really hard to be a guide. It's extremely hard. And it's a very thankless job that they have. Like, a lot of times they're like, come on, Ken, come on, like, take this path, do this, you know, come on. And I'm just ignoring them and I'm like, get lost. And I'm, you know, like not now, but I used to when I was younger and I didn't know what it was or what I was feeling. It's a very thankless job that they have, and it's hard for them. It's really hard. So if you could acknowledge them and get used to knowing who they are and fellowship with them, develop that relationship, it'll help you. It'll help them. It's so beneficial all around.
I am so fascinated by this conversation, Ken Lewicki. Thank you so much. There's like seven different things on my paper right now, so I'm going to just try to dig because they all sort of connect. One of the things that, you know, you said it was really hard to connect with angels, and having gone through the sort of the angel certification, I was like, okay, so how am I getting these angel interpretation messages? But cards, and if it's possible, that the angels communicating through the cards, because there's a lot of us who use the cards to get angel messages to our people, and I've done angel parties and events, and, you know, I don't know if you guys do cards at your events, but so the angels moving messages through the cards and us being able to sort of interpret that message, there's times when I am interpreting that message that I can look at somebody and say, I can tell you honestly that this is not coming out of my brain. It is coming out of my mouth. It's a blah, you know, moment. And you kind of say what you want to say. And so that's the angels and how I communicate and how I'm able to get it and feel somewhat like a channeler. And then there's the whole guide thing where, it's like Carrie, I saw my guide one day, and I've talked about this on the Best Life Cafe before, where I just saw the pinhole of light, and maybe you can help me relate to this, in that blank area that I had gotten myself to in meditation, and out in the distance of this blank, there was a white light, and all of a sudden, a male figure with sort of Jesus-length hair and an open plaid country boy shirt and jeans appeared. And I was frightened, and I said, what's your name? And I got George. George was very masculine, and I grew up with brothers, and I've had a sort of a masculine, dominant personality my whole life, and there's this part of me that's like, where's my feminine energy, girl? Like, where's that girl that helps me? And then you're so then that took me to the soul family you were talking about, how rough of a job it is for them. And I'm thinking, she's out there, and she can't get through. So all those things, like, came up for me in that conversation. The masculine versus the feminine, the, you know, why a masculine guide and not a feminine guide? Do we pick these before we come, and how that all works?
A couple things is that I try to, when I help people connect with their guides, is I try to help them to, whatever comes, happens, whatever unfolds is divinely meant to happen, and not to go in with any expectations. So some people who think, oh, I need to have a feminine guide, or some people are like, I need to have a masculine guide, and it is what it is. So usually we have several guides. We have several secondary guides and then one primary guide. And each one of them is to help us with usually a different area of our life. So it could be careers or family. Mm. Some of them might just be here to support us. Some might be here to help us with our spiritual development. Some might be here to help us with our healing. There's lots of reasons why they might be basically choose to be a guide for us. All I can say to that is just embrace whoever you have. If you're connecting, it doesn't matter whether they're male or female. They've chosen to be your guide. Embrace that, welcome it, and be grateful that they've chosen to do that, because, like I said, it's very tough for them. a couple things about that, though, is they will nudge you, they will guide you, they will give you options. For example, if there's five opportunities that are presented to you, you can talk to them and ask them, which ones of those five would be the best for me to go for? And they might be like, well, one and two, definitely not. Two and three, sort of, but number five, that's, you know, or number four, that would be the optimal, that would be the best one to go for. So they won't tell you what to do. And, of course, you have free will. You can choose to ignore them. You could choose to just say, yeah, and get lost. And what I try to encourage people to do is I say, okay, so now after we've connected with their guides and they know what they feel like, they know their presence, I say, now when you feel that, stop what you're doing, try to go somewhere where it's quiet, and just ask them, what is it? And sometimes they just want to be there and let you know that they have your back, that they're there to support you. But other times they're there to give you a message. So ask them, what's that message? What are you trying to tell me? The reason is you want to follow your guides is because they have the bigger picture. They can see from a bigger perspective. They can see the players and who's moving into place, the pieces, what's happening. They can see the bigger picture, and they can see if it's in alignment with your path, your soul path, which we could have many different, you know, paths and reasons that we incarnated. And they can also see that, you know, what would be the most valuable to you and the best to you. I suggest you follow them, because I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life where I've chosen to ignore them and things have not turned out good. I try to follow my guidance as much as possible, because it's to my benefit. It really is.
Oh, I absolutely love this. I want to intervene here because we actually have a caller. Oh, they hung up. I had a caller on the line. I was going to tell them I would take their call if you were interested in having a question, but they hung up. So, unless they call back.
Call back, caller.
Call back. We didn't talk about that in the beginning of the show, but sometimes we do get callers. So back to our soul family and sort of all of that. So here you have your soul family, and you have the guide, and you kind of are connecting with your guide. And then, like Carrie said, she feels Mimi's presence. And, you know, my grandmother has been leaving dimes for us since she passed a year and a half ago. And not really, but usually when I see a dime, I'm like, okay, there's some message here. And that's a whole longer story. But when do our spirit guides give us signs like that? Like, is there like I know my grandmother's giving the dimes. We have concrete evidence. But do spirit guides, when they're nudging you to take option B, is there a way that they communicate physically with us through a sign? Like I know that sometimes happens to people, feathers, ladybugs, all that stuff.
I could go on and on and on and list the many examples. Obviously, they use a lot of our clairsentience. They'll use like the strongest clair that you have. So if you're very clairaudient, they'll try to come through those first. Clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant, claircognizant, and on and on and on. And then they also use things like physical things like dimes or ladybugs or whatever. But a lot of times you'll get those messages through other people, and they will be getting the information to you through other people, and you'll be like, that person won't even know it. They'll have no clue. You just meet some random person at a store or a party or something like that, and they give you a message, and you're like, huh, and that was from your grandma.
I literally just got goosebumps from head to toe when you said that, because I know that every single person has a gift for us. Like, that's one of my big things. When one of the big things I learned in life, even when it's, you know, traumatic, even when it's your wife who's leaving you, like, every single person has this gift for our lives. It's fascinating to me that you said that. So, wow, we're just all over. So I want to talk about Kim. Okay, a little
that,
bit. Kim
that
Warwick,
was your
life
partner. That was your grandma, by the way. In case you're wondering, that was your grandma who was giving you goosebumps. So anyway, yeah,
Noni, hi,
now
Noni.
Now you're going to make me cry, because I have been fighting in her defense for a year and a half after she passed. And I literally got an email this morning that it was completely done and in front of the judge to be signed and over. And I appreciate that she's here to say
she's so happy
you,
for
Kathy.
You right now. She's
gonna cry. Oh my God. Just send six numbers. We're good. No. That's what I always tell her. Just send me the six numbers. Lottery numbers. It's so cute.
I tell people too that if they want to have a session with me, I make myself available. You can look me up on any social media, Ken Lewicki. Just put in Ken and then last name, Lewicki. And that's Ken Lewicki. And just look me up on any social media, Facebook, Twitter, any LinkedIn, doesn't matter. And just send me a message and we could set up a Skype session. Doesn't matter where you are, because I can connect with help you connect with your guides no matter where you are. Really, really easy. And then you want to go into my partner, Kim Wirch. So my partner, Kim Wirch, she has a website called Kim. Yes.
I just wanted to say on the Skype sessions, I lost my thought now. Sorry. Go ahead. I lost it. But I was really excited to have you talk about what you do and how to get a hold of you. And so let's go ahead and move right into the Kim Wirch, because Kim is your partner, and we've had Kim on the show. Mm-hmm. You can go back into the archives. We're on iTunes and listen to Kim's show. And you guys have a business called Employed by Angels.
Yeah, what a fitting name, right?
Yep, go right ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so it's KimWirch.com. KimWirch.com, and you can go onto her website and you can see all the events that we hold on her events tab. And we do lots of stuff. We do, Kim is probably one of the most powerful healers I've ever come across. I've been doing this for over 10 years, and there's nobody that I've met who's as powerful as her. And so we've teamed up. We are partners and lovers, but we've also teamed up to do anything and everything we can, which is spiritual. So we develop curriculum. We work together to, we do what's called infinity healings. We heal whole groups at a time now, where I channel the information and she does the healing. I channel the information, she does the healing. I channel the information, she does the healing. We do Reiki classes, Reiki training, certification. We do Akashic Records certification, and on and on and on.
Wow.
So, sorry. So when we, if we set up a session with you, will we be working with both of you, you and Kim?
Oh, that's a great question. So if you wanted like a healing session, I've developed the ability to, if you want to do a healing session, it would be both Kim and I. And what I've done is I've developed the ability where I can basically scan your body and I could determine the root cause of whatever it is, whatever issue needs to be cleared. So it could be a spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, or energetic being, and it doesn't matter which aspect of you, I can hone in and figure out the root cause of exactly what's going on so that we could go ahead and clear that, and then Kim will do the healing part, and then I just continue channeling, and I get information from the angels, the archangels. I go directly to your being, and I could scan each aspect of your being to figure out exactly what the root cause is. And it's phenomenal. Like the sessions that we do.
I want
the
that
results.
Session. Oh my God.
Right?
Me yeah.
Too. How much, how long do those take, Ken? Like just for our listeners, of course.
Yeah. So, we don't do as many one-on-one sessions because we were getting such good results that we were just booked solid. So now we do more group healings, but we do the odd one-on-one sessions, and we have clients all over the world. Again, we can use Skype or any other like Facebook Messenger or anything like that. And basically that's $100 for 1 hour. And and of course, if it goes over, it goes over. We don't say, oh, the hour's up,
that
we stop.
Is
if
so
we do more,
reasonable.
We will keep going. Yes.
$100 for both you and Kim?
For both of us, yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. You'll be hearing from us, even if you have to set it out a month or so. Look, I'm like, I still want my clearing. Like, I want the clearing. Carrie, you and I, we need to clear.
I know, yeah. We totally need to clear.
What's really cool is Kim's, if I could just mention this real quick, because I channel, I'm able to communicate with the archangels and angels, and they've been doing a lot of attunements and a lot of activations on Kim, and her spiritual abilities, her healing abilities have skyrocketed, and what used to take us 6 months to do, we can now do in 1 hour because her abilities have increased so much, and because my ability and working with the angels and archangels, my ability to hone in on the root cause of it. And that's why we get clients coming back to us and telling everybody about us that we get so booked. And now we have to do group healings because now we could do 30, 40, 50 people at a time instead of just one at a time.
Wow.
But we do the odd one-on-ones now.
Come to California. Don't stay in Alberta. Come to California.
Set us up with some events. Well, come on out.
Figure
that out.
Yeah, look, we'll talk about that because, I mean, we're just getting started ourselves.
Another thing to throw out there for the listeners is Kim has a book. It's called Waking Up an Empath. It's a phenomenal book. It's available on Amazon or any of the major online stores. You can get it through Barnes & Noble. You just go to the kiosk, type in Waking Up an Empath. She has a new book. It's called Awakened Empath. It's coming out. It's in the production stage right now. This book is going huge, and we do presentations. We do speeches. We do workshops. We do training. So if there's anybody out there who wants to invite us, send us a message. We'll see if we can figure out the logistics. We just came back from Buffalo. We did expos and trainings and development workshops and on and on and on. It was phenomenal.
And so, Kim, I just emailed her this morning because I was fascinated that she wrote a second book in the time that she did. And I know that when you're channeled to write, because I sometimes read my own book and I say, who wrote that book? Like, I don't even know. It just flowed out of me, right? And I know and when I knew, and she was kind of putting a little bit on Facebook that she was writing, and then within a week or two, she was done and it was in production, I knew that that book wrote through her and that the message that was going to come out in this book was coming from this higher energy. It's like Wayne Dyer wrote I Can See Clearly Light Now in 72 Days, like sat down and hand wrote that book and didn't stop, put his whole life off. That book had to come out. And, you know, so I just got goosebumps. Thank you, Wayne. And so I really, really got that she wrote her first book and it came out and all of a sudden they were like, yeah, but we need to give them more. So I really wanted to acknowledge that because as a writer, I was fascinated by the fact that she did that. And I told her this morning, a little envious because I know that when you're writing like that, you're writing with such purpose. So I'm really excited to get her back on the show when that starts to come. And I think your $100 deal is so reasonable. It's amazing. I think you're going to end up getting a lot of calls for that. I know that we talked a little bit about Akashic Records. For me, the Akashic Records has always sort of been out there on a realm that I could not possibly intelligently understand. And I've heard about it when I've done a little bit of study with Sylvia Brown, who, you know, is on the other side now, but she's the one I first was introduced to the Akashic Records with. So if you could just give us a little bit of what that actually is.
That's a great question. The Akashic Records is basically like your book of life. It's imagine like a big book, and in that book, it has everything you've ever experienced, anything good, anything bad, any emotions, any feelings, any experiences, circumstances, doesn't matter. Anything and everything that you've ever experienced is in that book. And it's not just from this lifetime, it's from all lifetimes.
That's what
so there could be things in there that aren't necessarily... Like, for example, there was a past life where I was a nun. And in that past life, I made a vow of celibacy, and I made a vow of poverty. Well, obviously, in this lifetime, that doesn't work for me. I don't want to, you know, be somebody who never has sex, and I don't want to be somebody who's poor all my life. But that was a contract that was written in my Akashic Records from a previous lifetime, and that was affecting me detrimentally in this lifetime. And so I had that cleared, and ever since then, I've had a healthier relationship with sex, which I didn't as a child and growing up all my life. And then also now I'm able to manifest money. I'm able to create money for the first time in my life since that was cleared. So there's a lot of things in the Akashic Records in your book of life that are good, that are healthy, but there's some things in there that might not be serving you anymore. And that's where the power of knowing and learning about the Akashic Records and going to a professional like a Akashic Records practitioner who can go in there and clear some of that stuff for you, it becomes very beneficial. And that's where Kim comes in. Kim she works with what's called the Lord of the Akashic Records. So yes, there's one Akashic Records and he's actually an angel. And I said, what's your name? And it's like, Lord of the Akashic Records. That's actually his name. And he's the one that'll go in there and that'll help to clear it and help to rewrite it. And this is all described in Kim's second book. We go into so much detail about how to do the healing, and it's just phenomenal.
Mm. I'm excited to read it.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. Fun. Wow. So, Ken, it's almost time for us to wrap up. So we would love for you to just give a shout-out again about where everybody can find you. And then we always close our show with a Wayne Dyer Wednesday quote. So we're going to do that. And then just send love to our audience.
For sure.
Are you going to pull? I have a card. I'm going to pull a card.
Okay, pull a card, babe.
Well, first, let's Ken give us one more shout out to all the places to find you and Kim.
All right. So you can find me if you want to book a private session with me to help you connect with your guides. You can do that. Just go to any major social media. I'm on all of them. Ken, K-E-N, and then Lewicki, L-E-W-I-C-K-I. And if you want to know more about Kim's book, Waking Up an Empath, just go to kimwirch.com. That's K-I-M-W-I-R-C-H.com. And you can also find out about events and all sorts of really... Oh, she has the coolest spiritual blogs there. They're all free to read. I do recommend trying to read her book first, though, Waking Up an Empath. But the spiritual blogs, some are beginner, but a lot of them are very advanced. And if you're into spiritual stuff, you'll love her blogs. They are great.
Yay.
Okay,
the card I picked today is called Education. This is, I picked this from the Universal cards by Juliet Jeffrey Hubbs and Nora Monaco. They're one of the first decks I ever got way back when. And for education today, it's just saying this can indicate a graduation from your present situation. Take a step up. Share your knowledge with others. We are all teachers and students. What can you learn from the situation? Earth is a big classroom where we come to learn certain lessons. What skills or ideas can you develop and share? We learn something new each day. Think about what recent situations, relationships, and experiences have taught you. And it also says here that the time is now to put into action that which you know to be truth from deep within your soul. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Wow, I think that's so perfect,
so
especially what we've talked about today, you know,
yeah,
learning
it really
from
is.
Our guides and stuff. Wow. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I was saying so fitting. And this one of the things that Kim and I really pride ourselves in is we want to empower people. So we teach them everything we can so that they can go out there and they can master the skills and their abilities. We've had clients where we're like, you're done. You don't need us anymore. You're healed. Like you, if you want to come back in 6 months or a year from now, just for a tune-up, you're good. And two things that we really specialize in is we do healing and clearing and spiritual development. Healing and clearing and spiritual development. Because when you do both together, look out, you're going to be a powerhouse. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Like, so you're not only you're doing the healing and clearing, but you're doing the education, you're doing the training, you're doing the certification, you're learning this stuff, you're developing your spiritual abilities, and that's where it gets really exciting. And the thing is, we want to make these spiritual abilities really practical, tangible, useful in your everyday kind of life.
I love that.
Well, along the lines of spirit and soul guides, I think that the best Wayne Dyer quote that I can give today is, if you knew who walked beside you at all times on this path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear or doubt again.
Wow. Okay, now I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, I just have to say, like, I have such a lump in my throat. Like, I just feel like I could weep right now. Like, honestly, I just feel like I could just, I don't know what that is. I'm just sharing with you that this show has touched me in a way that I have never experienced before. So I just personally want to say I'm sending you so much gratitude for being willing to talk to us today and share with our listeners. And just, I just really want to say thank you for being in this world and sharing the work that you do, because I have a funny feeling that me knowing you is going to completely change my life. Sorry, guys. I don't know why this is happening.
Okay. So here's what I just so love about this show. We really are very spontaneous with our radio show, and we like to just sort of let it flow. We have our guidelines, but something like this comes up. And Ken, my feeling when she was talking was, A, that this was some type of a message for you, like to understand how great your work is and impactful. But from your perspective, her having this emotional response to your work, what would that mean to you if you were working with her one-on-one right now?
Well, when I tune into her right now, her gut, often what will happen is, and this happens to me, is my heart will... I will feel their presence so strongly and their love so strongly for me that I will just start welling up and crying. And it's a beautiful thing. I embrace it. I welcome it. And I my heart is just overwhelmed with gratitude and love right now. I'm tearing up as well. I got goosebumps galore. It's very magical what's happening and occurring right now.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I think... I just need to say thank you. And I'm going to reach out to you clearly And yeah. I love you, Cass.
So
You're
am I.
Amazing.
So am I. Oh, my little Carrie, I love this. Like, you know, for all of our listeners, you know, the truth is emotions are the key to happiness. Like working through and allowing mm-hmm. your emotions to come up and being vulnerable in those moments of exposure really is the key to opening yourself up and being who you are. And so, Carrie, I embrace your tears. Ken, I am so grateful that you came on the show. And I also will be reaching out to you for that healing because I know that there are spots in me that are blocked. I mean, I physically know it. And so to hear you explain it yeah. in that way, I've never really understood the work to be that. So I'm really grateful for that. So you guys, if there's any burning desires.
What's really, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, is I need to have enough humility. Even as a practitioner and a healer and a channeler myself, I need to have enough humility to reach out for help. I do need healing. I do have healing that I need to do, and I have to be humble enough to know that there are some things I can heal on my own, and there's some things I need to reach out for help for, and that's okay. I can reach out for help,
yeah.
and Kim and I both, we go to other practitioners on a regular basis
sure.
because we want to be the healthiest healers we can be, for sure, absolutely.
Okay, and I just want to give a shout-out to John Masalunas, who connected me with Kim and which got us
yeah.
to you. And he's, you know,
thank
he's
you,
one of my favorite people. Yeah, thank you, John. We love
hey,
you.
Hey, John.
And so you guys, John's been on the show, and I adore his work and his personality. So I just wanted to give him a shout-out today on the show. So you guys, I'm going to leave you now with thank you so much. Everybody, seek out Ken and Kim for your spiritual healings and connecting with your guides. I think it's a fabulous idea and will bring a lot of light to the world.
Aloha, everyone. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
All right.
Love
Thanks,
you all.
Everybody. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.